And I'm going to mess up the name here. Genta. Okay, he'll correct me here as we go along. But what a great family from Detroit, Michigan. Missionaries for the Lord there in that place, planting a church and already starting a second campus. Amen. Because of the Lord's blessing, and we're very thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Sister Genta, just come right here and testify for us, would you please? Amen.
It is truly an honor to be here. I love what I feel in this place. And Brother Wicker, just exactly what you were saying, it reminds me. I don't know about everybody else in here, but I wasn't raised in church. So every time I have the opportunity to walk into the house of God, it just brings that excitement. All those years of missing out with God and not having the understanding of what it feels like to be amongst believers. You walk into a place like this where we don't know each other, but the spirit is the same. The excitement for the Father that we serve is the same. So I am so excited to know that the body in Detroit has the same fervency and excitement for God that we do right here in Alaska. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Sounds like a preacher. Praise God. But Brother Gendo is telling me of the millions that are in the Detroit area needing the Lord. And thank God there are a good number of them being reached, but many, many, many more yet to go. It could be overwhelming. But I remember what Brother Kilgore said in the Houston area, driving around feeling so overwhelmed, the population so great, and crying out to the Lord, how are we going to reach them, Lord? How are we going to reach them? The Lord spoke to his heart and said, one at a time. One at a time. Praise God. And I thank God that there's more being added to the kingdom. Amen. The faithfulness of the people of the Lord. And we're very, very thankful for what God has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm inviting Brother Genta to come now and he'll introduce his family. His daughter's going to sing. We're going to worship some more. Praise God. In the name of the Lord. God bless you, bro. Detroit, Michigan, and North American Mission Secretary, a busy man. Pastoring two churches. That's awesome. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It is good to be in church. There's no place I'd rather be than in church. Amen. I love being in church. I can say that a couple more times. I love being in church. Especially when church feels good. Amen. Well, I'm gonna bring my daughter Jasmine up. Amen. She's going to sing a song. Amen. Can we just worship with her for a few moments?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who is excited to be in the house on a Thursday night? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was glad when they said unto me. Thank you, Lord. We are honored to be here tonight with the Glover family. We are from Detroit, Michigan. This is our first time in Alaska. It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'm not really a fan of the cold, but the views and seeing everyone, our family, it's very worth it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go ahead and get started in worship. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside of me. May you delight in the inside, oh, in the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you. For you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you. for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. Oh, all we want is for you to be glorified. Oh, he says, rise from the inside. From the inside of me, may you delight in the inside, oh, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. For you to be glorified, Lord. Oh, you to be glorified. Oh, fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see, Lord, is you,
God. Come on, let's lift up the name of the Lord. Come on, let's lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost ready to break out in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost ready to move in this house. There's healing present in here right now. The miraculous power of God is in this place. Thank you, Pastor Glover, for having us. Amen. We're glad to be here. I know we come up to Alaska and get to enjoy all of this beautiful landscape and all this stuff. We get to come and spend time with our dear friends, the Wickers. We love them so much. Amen. And then Pastor Glover opening the pulpit, the church to us tonight is an honor. Amen. I know as a pastor that I'm pretty selective and, you know, who I'm going to allow to speak into the church. Amen. And so that what me being here tonight says a lot about the relationship that Pastor Glover has with that man right there. Amen. Brother Wicker and I go back a long time. We went to church together back in Bellevue. Amen. We've seen miracles together. We've seen God do great things together. Amen. And I always knew he was cut out for the country and I was cut out for the city. But I didn't think it was Alaska and Detroit. Amen. But Pastor Glover, thank you so much. It's so good to meet you. As soon as I walked up and met Pastor Glover, I just love his spirit. You could just feel his good spirit. Amen. And I'm honored to be here. Amen. I feel, usually if I was coming to a church to preach, especially for the first time, I would probably maybe share my testimony, talk a little bit about the Holy Ghost, and let's see what God would do. But I feel that the Lord has us here at the right time and in the right season of revival in this area. I'm not just talking about the whole Alaska district. I'm talking specifically about this area. Amen. And I was actually going to preach this message tomorrow night at in Kenai. And the Lord just unctioned my spirit to preach tonight. Amen. So those folks who are from Kenai, I'm glad you're here. Amen. But I feel like the Lord, is not necessarily just speaking to this church, but I feel like the Lord wants to speak to this area. And I'm going to tell you just what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I don't know anybody here except for the Wickers. But I feel like there, even in the book of Joel, when you see the Lord likened the tree, the last day revival, to a tree, and how it was eaten away and then come back. And what I find is that in an area that's experiencing revival, we see a tree. And churches have different parts of that. And I'm going to tell you what I feel in this church. I feel that this church has a part of the roots in this area of what God is doing. There's something old. There's something that's been around a while. There's something that, there's some maturity here. There's some spiritual maturity here that is able to withstand. You've withstood some storms. And I don't mean to keep, but I can tell you now, this man and his wife have withstood some storms. I don't know them, but I can tell you if they've been pastoring for any amount of time, they've withstood some storms, and they're here. Amen. And so this church, there's a strength about it. There's a strength about it. Amen. And what's going to happen is you're going to see other churches. There's going to be a unity that comes together, and which I feel it's already here, but there's going to be a unity that comes together with different churches in the area. I keep hearing you call it the peninsula. I imagine that's the little isle, the little peninsula down south of Anchorage, I guess, is what I'm imagining. Yeah. But that area, amen, the churches are going to come together, and each part is going to play its role. And what's going to happen is all the churches are going to experience harvest. One church is going to lead the way, and suddenly there's going to be like this big blossoming harvest, but then all the churches are going to eat from it. Amen. I'll tell you what I really feel in the Holy Ghost is that there's a scripture in where Jesus said that you're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant and reap from a harvest you didn't sow. Can I tell you in the Holy Ghost what I feel? That there's churches that are not in truth, but they're going to come in truth. They went ahead and built the building. They went ahead and gathered the crowd. They went ahead and paid the bills, but we're going to reap the harvest. That's what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There's getting ready to be a dynamic harvest in this area. And I'm not calling it revival because revival has already happened. When we're looking for revival, we're looking for something dead to come back alive. But I don't feel dead. I don't feel death. I don't feel that here. I feel alive. I feel strength. So I don't think we need revival. We need harvest. Amen. We need harvest, and I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost, it's harvest time on the peninsula. It's harvest time in this area of Alaska. It's harvest. And I want you to know this church is part of the root system of what that's going to look like. Amen. what that means could be good and it could be bad. Now, I'll get to the sermon, trust me, but I feel the Holy Ghost to tell me to tell you this. There's going to be other churches. I don't know if it's Kenai or other, I don't know. But there might be another church that grows, and you're going to say, they grew faster than we did. More people went to that church than went to this church. And some might be almost inclined to say, well, my gosh, what? Why did we've been here 100 years. I don't know how long has this church been here?
Since
1963. And to here they are, some new church comes, and all of a sudden they got 500 people. We were going to be the first one to 500. Well, they're acting as the trunk. They're growing. But what happens is all that church could never have done what it done without this church maintaining and strengthening the area. But here's the thing. When that happens, here comes the fruit. Here comes the branches. Here comes all this. And everybody gets to eat. And I'm not saying that this church won't grow to five. What I'm saying is everybody's going to play their role. Everybody's going to play their part in the revival of this area. And one of the greatest parts that this church is going to have is that of maturity and strength. Pastors and the other pastors in the area are going to come to this man of God and say, hey, I'm going through some things right now, and I don't know. My church might not survive. And Pastor Glover is going to say, well, listen, I've been there. I've done that. You're going to make it through. I believe harvest is coming to this area. Amen. So because of that, I want to do something tonight. The Lord spoke to me about a year ago, and he said to spread the word everywhere I went. And so tonight I want to spread the word where I am. I want to reveal the enemy's plan so that we can overcome. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I asked the brother, I think Levi, is that right? If he would try to find the message. I don't know if you were able to do that or not. If not, we'll follow along. But I'm going to read from the message. Hope that's okay. I should have asked you first. Amen. And then after this exemplary track record, this Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and attacked Judah. He put the fortified cities under siege, determined to take them. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib's strategy was to take Jerusalem, he talked to his advisors and military leaders about eliminating all the water supplies outside the city. They thought it was a good idea. There was a great turnout of people to plug the springs and tear down the aqueduct. They said, "Why should the kings of Assyria march in and be furnished with running water?" Hezekiah also went to work repairing every part of the city wall that was damaged, built defensive towers on it, built another wall of defense further out, and reinforced the defensive rampart of the old city of David. He also built up a large store of armaments, spears, and shields. He then appointed military officers to be responsible for the people and got them all together at the public square in front of the city gate. Hezekiah rallied the people, saying, "Be strong, take courage. Don't be intimidated by the king of Assyria and his troops. There are more on our side than on their side. He only has a bunch of mere men. We have our God to help us fight for us." The Bible says morale surged. Hezekiah's words put steel in their spines. Later on, Sennacherib, who set up camp a few miles away at Lachish, sent messengers to Jerusalem addressing Judah through Hezekiah. "A proclamation of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, you poor people. Do you think you're safe in that so-called fortress of Jerusalem? You're sitting ducks. Do you think Hezekiah will save you? Don't be stupid. Hezekiah has fed you a pack of lies. When he says God will save us from the power of the king of Assyria, he's lying. You're all going to end up dead. Wasn't it Hezekiah who cleared out all the neighborhood worship shrines and told you there is one legitimate place to worship? Do you have any idea what I and my ancestors have done to all the countries around here? Has there been a single God anywhere strong enough to stand up against me? Can you name one God among the nations that either I or my ancestors have ravaged that so much as lifted a finger against me? So what makes you think that, you'll make it out any better with your God? Don't let Hezekiah fool you. Don't let him get by you with his barefaced lies. Don't trust him. No God of any country or kingdom ever has been one bit of help against me or my ancestors. What kind of odds does that give you or your God? The messengers felt free to throw in their personal comments, putting down both God and God's servant Hezekiah. Sennacherib continued to send letters insulting the God of Israel. The gods of the nations were powerless to help their people. The God of Hezekiah is no better, probably worse. The messengers would come up to the wall of Jerusalem and shout up to the people standing on the wall, shouting their propaganda in Hebrew, trying to scare them into demoralized submission. They contemptuously lumped the God of Jerusalem in with the handmade gods of other people. King Hezekiah joined the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, responded by praying, calling up to heaven. God answered by sending an angel who wiped out everyone in the Assyrian camp, both warriors and officers. Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace, tail between his legs. When he went into the temple of his God, his own sons killed him. God saved Hezekiah and the citizens of Jerusalem from Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and everyone else. And he continued to take good care of them. People streamed into Jerusalem, bringing offerings for the worship of God and expensive presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah. All the surrounding nations were impressed, and Hezekiah's stock soared. I'm going to stop there. We got plenty more to read, but I'll stop there. I love this story in this translation. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's pray one more time. God, in Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that there's none able, God, to defeat you. No one is stronger than you, God. No one is stronger than you, God. Come on, church, touch the throne of God for a moment. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. That means if you're not, you got to stand. If you read the previous chapters and learn about the life of Hezekiah, you'll find that he was righteous in God's sight. He was a good man. He made mistakes, but he was a good man. He went around. Here was the great thing about his ministry, his time as a king. And yes, I said ministry, because every position we hold is a ministry. Let me tell you a little, let me give you a little free nugget here. There's no such thing as spiritual and secular. No such thing. Your job might be secular, but it's spiritual because you're there. We don't have our work life and our church life, our home life and our, we don't have spiritual life and secular life. All of our life is spiritual because we are spiritual.
Amen.
Hezekiah understood that principle. When he became king, he went and tore down all the shrines that were built to false gods and all the immoral sin. Amen. He honored the true and holy God. Hezekiah started to pull the kingdom back toward holiness and godliness. I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost right now, there is a spirit of this age that is pulling people away from holiness. And I'm here to tell you that God's people need to be drawn back to holiness, not away from it. It ain't my job to tell you the list tonight and what is holiness. I'll leave that to your pastor. But I'm here to tell you this. We better start seeking the face of God and saying we are going to be holy. We are not going to be drawn away of our own lust. We are not going to be drawn away by the enticing things in our flesh. But we are going to be a holy, godly people if we're going to have the harvest that God has promised. Hezekiah started pulling the people back toward holiness. And if you haven't noticed, there's been a pull. I sometimes go and I watch, you know, on Facebook Live and, you know, after our service. And I've noticed that it's at the same time. Churches all over. I'm noticing pastors, some who are going one direction and some who are going another, but some that are saying, it's like all of a sudden I'm noticing it. There's a call to holiness happening on churches all over America. There's a call to holiness, call to depth, a call to new depth. God is not looking for a shallow church. God is not looking for somebody who is superficial. God is looking for the depth, the secret things. I talked about it last night. Are withheld for the friends of God, those who know him. The Bible says when we know him, we'll be strong and we'll do exploits. We cannot do exploits if we wander far from him. We only know the strength and the power of God when we know him. God is pulling his people to depth. We cannot produce holiness with our dress. We cannot produce holiness with the things we do. Holiness is produced in prayer and relationship with him. This other stuff happens because of holiness, which is in here. We have a holiness by prayer. When I seek the face of God, I can't help but get holy. When I'm praying and I'm seeking his face, I can't help but let holiness come, because that's him. He is holy. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't care what popular opinion is, but those who go and walk away from holiness is because they're not praying. You cannot pray to the depths of God's Spirit and still walk in your carnality. It's impossible. When you tap into the depth of God, when you tap in and seek his face, there's nothing but that he draws you to him. And if you draw to him, you become like him. It's impossible to walk with him and be carnal. Amen. God is calling a church to the depth of his Spirit. So what does Satan do? Oh, lion devil. See, Sennacherib came to attack the kingdom. He and the Assyrian people came with a tactic of mental torment and fear-mongering. They came in and they tormented the people with relentless taunting, insult, personal attacks, pettiness, bullying. I'm prophesying to you tonight. I'm prophesying to this region tonight. There is a spirit that will try to bully you, thinking that you will never have a church that grows. These towns are too small to have big churches. You can't have big church. No. I'm here to tell you, God is getting ready to give towns and villages and cities into your hand. God, don't let the devil lie to you. You are about to see a harvest like never before. Hey, I don't know how much you guys pay attention to district stuff, but I do. I'm the NAM secretary in Metro Detroit. It's impossible to get offerings of 60 and 70,000 from churches of 100. It's impossible. But I'm going to tell you, giving precedes harvest. Because if you sow, you reap. It's impossible for a church. How many churches are in the Alaska district? It's impossible for a district with 28 churches to be number one in the nation in giving. It's impossible. Or so says Sennacherib. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, I can take a district with a state with less than 1 million people in it, spread out hours between my churches, and I can take 28 churches and... Why? Because we believe in the harvest. Be seated. Insult, personal attacks. Even Sennacherib's messengers, who he sent to deliver his message. Imagine this, Pastor. A king sending you to give a word for him. Read it in the scripture. A king sending you to give a word, sealed with his ring.
And the messengers go adding their own words in there. Find me another person who did that didn't die soon thereafter. These folks were so overwhelmed with their bitterness against God that they did not have any fear. They were so overwhelmed and overcome by this nasty spirit that they were willing to even add words on top of what the king sent them to say. They were, it's just vitriol. They just hated the kingdom of God and the people of God. The messengers started throwing in their own insults and personal additions to the agenda. The culture of intimidation was being made personal, and the people of Assyria made it their own. They bought into it. There's something powerful about buy-in, even when it's for evil. Just look around in our world. Sennacherib's tactic was to bully them into demoralized submission. He didn't want to go in there fighting with them hand to hand. He wanted to bully them so they wouldn't fight at all. Because intimidation precedes persecution. He talked about all the places he went and defeated all the other kingdoms and all the other gods. He tried to lump the God of Israel in with all the false gods of this world. His purpose was to emasculate and make small the true God, the God of Israel, in the minds of God's people. See, the enemy would love nothing better than to make God small in your mind. He knows he can't make God small. He knows he can't defeat God. But he says, if I can make God small in your mind. Get this. The Bible says that they came and they even started sending insults in Hebrew. They learned. These were not people who spoke Hebrew. These were Assyrians. They learned Hebrew and started hurling insults in their native language. Yeah. I'll tell you something. Be careful about folks, carnal folks. The Bible says they might speak your language, but they're not citizens of your kingdom. You know a tree by its fruit. We ought to get this out of our minds. See, the devil says, doesn't the Bible say not to judge? No.
It sure don't.
In fact, it says to judge, but judge righteously. Be willing to withstand the same judgment that you give. Don't be a hypocrite. It never says don't judge. You know who says that? People who don't want to be judged. Watch out for spiritual people who... I hope I ain't offending nobody in here, but let me tell you, I just sense it. I start hearing Christian folk talking about the big guy up there. That's a distant relationship. I call him by name. I know him as Father. I know him as my God. I don't got to talk about the big guy up there and this God far, far away. No, I want to make it personal. When you go to a nation that speaks a different language, they know you're from a different country when you start speaking their language, because it might be the same language, but it don't sound the same. You better start watching folks that come around talking churchanese and Christianese, but there's something different about it. I know you know the right words. I know you say, but so, for God so loved the world and all this kind of stuff, but I'm hearing a different dialect in your speech. I'm hearing something that doesn't vibe with me right now. I'm hearing something that doesn't check in my spirit. And if you're unsure, you have somebody here who knows how to translate. I'm going to try to be quick. I know it's midweek. In each age, we see new waves of spiritual warfare that come into the world, specifically against the church. In the current age, we've seen this spirit of Jezebel that's been around for a long time. It's led to physical and spiritual rebellion and harlotry. Lawless spirit. Amen. But now we've entered into the age of Sennacherib. If Sennacherib could get the people of Israel to believe through fear-mongering that their God has not come through for them and will not come through for them, that we're going to have to face him alone, he could beat us. See, the Bible doesn't say, what does it say? If God be for us, but what if God's not for us? If God be for us,
no one could beat us.
Who could be against us? But what if God's not for us? See, we know better. Because in this church, there's maturity. We've been through some things. We've been through enough with God on our side. I've been through too much for you to tell me that God isn't for me, devil. That's why we need a church with some maturity to come alongside of some younger churches. We need a pastor with some maturity to come alongside of guys like me who are younger and need somebody to hold on to. See, if he could isolate the families of Israel from the kingdom of Israel, people would fear more for the safety of their children than the integrity of the house of God. I heard somebody recently telling me, and people I respect and love, but they told me, well, I don't know if I would ever go on the mission field because, you know, what would happen to my children? I think I would go crazy if something. Well, I understand that logic. I understand it by logical thinking. But what if God called you? I don't want nothing to happen to my kids either. But if God called them to the Middle East, or if God called them to some dangerous place, they're going to go with my blessing. They're going to. Because I believe in the integrity of the kingdom of God. Somebody's got to go to North Korea. Somebody's got to go to Iran. Somebody's got to go. Somebody had to go to Detroit. You know how many people told me I was crazy bringing my children? Guess, man, we were out there at 11 o'clock at night in the middle of the ghetto. I don't mean to, don't take my words harshly at all, but I'm telling you, I've been in places, my children have been in places that some of us have never dreamed of. But somebody's got to save them. Somebody's got to go and preach to them. We've got 29 churches in the Metro Detroit, in the Detroit Metro District. 800,000 people in Detroit. We have 3 English-speaking churches. 3! And out of the 3 English-speaking churches, mine is probably the biggest one. We ain't got none that are killing it, going over 100 and 200. None! That means there's 800,000 people who need Jesus desperately. All they've had is hatred and lies and all this miserable nonsense. They hate each other. They're killing each other. And we're bragging about our buildings. We're talking about how many people we got in our pews. You know what the Lord told me a long time ago? I don't even answer the question. How many of you running now? I don't even answer that question anymore. It's a dumb question. Want to know why? God didn't call Pastor Glover to this group of people. God called Pastor Glover to Sterling, Alaska. How many people are in Sterling, Alaska? Do you know? 5,000 people in Sterling, Alaska. Pastor Glover, how many are you running? About 5,000. I ain't figured out how to get them all in my pews yet, but I know that God has put 5,000 under my care. I know that God has put 5,000 under my charge. God has put 5,000 under the responsibility of my preaching. You can be seated. We're living in an age of mockery, taunting, bullying, and demoralization. His motive is to have the people of God living under the fear of imminent doom. That's why depression is running rampant. One of the first signs of depression is that you say, and anxiety is that they say you have constant thoughts of imminent doom. You have thoughts of death all the time. Well, I feel like I just tapped into something. Somebody in here right now, I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost. Everybody close your eyes. I don't want nobody looking around making a show out of nobody. Everybody close your eyes. And nobody looking around. I'm telling you, I'm standing here, I'm looking at everybody. And nobody looking around. Some of you have been having thoughts. You've been even seeing in your own mind pictures of your own death. There's somebody in here right now that's been dealing with that depression, that anxiety. And you've even seen it in your own mind. If you want deliverance right now, ain't nobody looking around. If you want deliverance, I just want you to lift up your hand right now. I just want you to lift up your hand. That's it. Put it down. I don't want to embarrass nobody. Everybody right now together, I want you to lift up your voice and worship. Those of you who have raised your hand because of that. Now that everybody has their hands lifted up, I want you to lift your hands up. God, right now, by the authority of God's word, I take authority over that spirit of anxiety. I take authority over that spirit of depression. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I lose a peace of mind like they have never experienced before. I release, I bind that restlessness, and I give them peace that they can rest with, peace that they can sleep with. I bind those negative pictures, those vain imaginations in the name of Jesus, and I lose wellness. I lose healing. Come on, church, worship the Lord for deliverance. You can be seated. The only way we can combat the spirit of Sennacherib is we need to be doing this thing together. One of the things that they tell you when you're going through stuff like that is that you ought to be around people. You think they got that from medical science? No, they got that from the Bible. I'm here to tell you need to be around somebody. I ain't talking about just the people I was prophesying to a moment ago. I'm talking to all of you because the spirit of Sennacherib will try to separate you and isolate you and put you on an island because you will die out there. Nothing overcomes the enemy like a unified church. Nothing overcomes the enemy like a church that walks arm in arm and says, you will not take my brother. You will not take my sister. Let me tell you something, church. We don't need any more of that. I can live for God on my own stuff. That's a rebellious spirit. There's no such thing of living for God on your own. God called us to be a church. We're going to see. I'm going to tell you what I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost. We're getting ready to see the church across this nation come together like never before. We're going to see a unity come over the body like never before. I'm telling you, you're going to see an end to territorialism. You're going to see an end to that nonsense in the church world. You're going to see churches come together and serve one another. You're going to see Sunday school teachers that attend one church teaching Sunday school at another church. You're going to see worship leaders at one church and another church. You're going to see people come together. You're going to see people come together. People laying aside their personal preference and their own agenda for the greater good of the body of Christ. Be seated. I got to hurry up. See, what Sennacherib didn't take into account was that the God of Israel was not the same as the God of the other kingdoms. See, Sennacherib himself had been lied to and even hoodwinked by the enemy to try to carry out a task. See, the devil has his minions. He lies to them because the devil ain't going to come. He don't have the authority or the power to come to God himself anymore. He's already been cast down. So he lies to somebody and sends them to go where he can't go. Imagine that. I'm going to send you because I can't do it myself. Jesus didn't do it that way. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He didn't send somebody else to do his bidding. He came and did the job himself. He ain't afraid of anybody. But the devil knows he's already been defeated and he doesn't have the authority to come to God. So he speaks lies into key people and sends them to do his bidding.
And as long as the people of Israel continued to pursue him, they couldn't be defeated. The people of God are impossible to defeat when we walk in the Spirit. Further, we are impossible to defeat when we are in alignment with God. As the threats and the demoralization continued, Hezekiah brought in the prophet, Isaiah. And they never answered a word to Sennacherib. They answered the enemy by talking to God. The Bible says they responded by prayer. They didn't answer the enemy. They turned the conversation toward their own king. They never had to lift a finger. God sent an angel and wiped out the entire Assyrian camp. The defeat was so bad that when Sennacherib retreated and went home, his own sons killed him in his own worship place. Folks, it's getting close. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, we're getting close. The time of the coming of the Lord, where the enemy will fall to his permanent demise, is coming very, very soon. The Lord is coming, and his reward is in his hand. He's coming for his faithful ones. He is coming to get his church. He is coming to get those who are his friends, his loved ones. He's coming for his bride. See, the spirit of Sennacherib is loosed in the world right now, attempting to strike fear into the hearts of the people of the kingdom. His purpose is to sow doubts through this bullying spirit, this cancel culture nonsense that we see all over the world. The enemy is using media and politics and Facebook and Instagram and racism and people and politics and every other device that he can use to intimidate the people of God into believing that there is an imminent danger against the church. There's a group of people out there that have bought into the lie of the devil. The agenda of Sennacherib manifests in various ways through the personal flavor of individual people. And I'm not going to get into it tonight, but we all know the different agendas that are out there. It's okay to have your own opinion as long as it doesn't disagree with theirs. Everyone has their own cause and they're militant about usurping it over the authority of Christ's kingdom. These folks are militant out there. I wonder what would happen if the church was half as militant. Somebody ain't hearing me right now. I'm telling you what God is calling an army. God is calling up soldiers. God is calling up some people that will plant their feet on truth and will not be moved. Can I just have about 5 more minutes? Is that okay, Pastor?
Yeah, you're good.
The spirit of Sennacherib is trying to get the people of God's kingdom to believe and say things like, there's no going back now. This world is too far gone. This group and that group, they're in charge. Dare I say, I don't want to get into politics. Oh, these things are just fixed anyhow. I ain't saying they're not. But that doesn't matter because we ain't voting on who Jesus is. There is no vote
who the King of Israel is. There is no vote. There is no dominion machine that can unthrone him. Stand to your feet. Truth is, we can't forget about what Hezekiah said. The Bible says it put steel in their spines. Folks, if we ever in this world, now more than ever, have we needed a group of people with some steel in their spines. Folks, there are more of us than there are of them. You want to know how I know? Research tells you that when you look at different classes of people, you got, you know, all these different demographics that they use to try to market and to try to do different things. It's been said that if the Christian, I'm not talking about apostolic, I'm talking about all of denominations. Yeah. They said if Christianity were to understand the power of its market, that they could change the way that this country does business. Up to 40-something percent of America claims, whether they are or not, but up to 40-something percent of America claims Christianity as their religion. That would be the largest demographic of any type of different class. And I'm not talking about white, black. I'm talking about, you know, gays and whatever we want to talk about. Christianity is the largest of all demographics. Imagine if we actually became militant with our faith. I'm not talking about that. Well, I'm not going to shop at Starbucks. I'm not talking about that. You won't shop at Starbucks, but you'll go and do this and that and the other. I'm not talking about that. If you shop at Starbucks, talk to your pastor about it. I don't know. That coffee's nasty anyhow. Tastes like some burnt beans. What I'm telling you is that there is power in unity. We could change a lot of stuff if we just one day demanded this is what it's going to be. That's not including, Pastor Glover. That's not including. Because what Hezekiah said, there's more of us than there are of them. Then he said, plus, we have God on our side. We are stronger just by our own strength. Now imagine adding God into that. We need to not fear everything that's going on in this world. We need to understand we are the ones that dictate what goes on in this world. We need to stop believing the perceived vulnerability that the spirit of Sennacherib has created. It's a lie. We are not vulnerable. The church is not vulnerable. The church is only vulnerable to his touch and his spirit. We are still in 2022 protected by holiness. We are still going to win this battle. We still stand strong and turn our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh. Come on, church, touch the throne of God for a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost. The prophet is being restored to the body of Christ over the last 20 years. Why? Because God wants to help the kingdom to turn to prayer. The apostle is being restored to the kingdom in the last 10 years. Why? Because God wants us to operate under the government of his kingdom and not under the government of our own agenda. The host of God's angels are standing at attention, standing by, waiting to attack at the sound of our prayers. You say, well, I've prayed and I did nothing happen. I'm not talking about one person saying, God, heal our nation. when my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. We know the scripture. And we see people out there picketing. Oh, if my people were called by my name and they're America, repent and turn from you. America is not called by his name. Getting the president to repent won't fix this nation. Getting the church to repent will. Folks, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm done. I got to stop. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Everything I told you before I started, God is bringing a harvest to this region that is going to be unlike anything that this region has ever seen. I believe that you're going to see, and I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost right now, I believe that we're going to see some of our pastors that are going to be approached. Not that we're going to take it, or I don't know, but I'll let the pastors decide. But we're going to be approached by our cities to become mayors. We're going to be approached by our cities to step into office in our cities, because they're going to see the prospering and the prosperity in our churches, and they're going to say, if they would just help us in our city, we might be able to do more. They're going to see the organization and structure of our churches and how we work together, and they're going to say, what would happen if we tried to adopt that in our cities and towns? There's going to be people in our churches that God is going to raise up to CEO levels. You're no longer going to be an employee. You're going to rise up, not because, oh, God gave me a raise and I got more money. No, but because the influence you're going to have is going to harvest that. There's a shift happening. It's been happening. It's not happening because I came and preached tonight. It's been happening. It's been happening because men like this have been praying. It's happening because saints like you have been praying. It's happening because saints have been committed and stand strong and say, I'm going to lift up the hands of my man of God. It's happening because men like this have moved here to become part of the tree, a branch that's going to... Come on, would you lay hands on somebody near you right now? Would you just begin to pray? Would you pray with somebody close by and begin to speak harvest? Begin to speak blessing. Bind up the lies of Sennacherib, the bullying, the demoralization. You don't have to live intimidated. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to. We are victorious. We are victorious. We are the church of the living God. Come on, church, would you come? Would you come to the front? Grab your neighbor's hand and bring them up to the front with you and say, we're going to go pray. We're going to bind the spirit of Sennacherib. We're not going to live in fear anymore. We're going to go ahead and take our victory. We're going to go ahead and we're going to march in victory for the Lord. We are going to win. We are going to win. Some of you are getting ready to learn in the next few months how to work and operate in the Spirit. You're going to do so by your pastor's direction. Don't get crazy. Don't start acting nuts because God talked to you once or twice. I'm telling you, stay submitted to your pastor, but be free to minister to somebody, because God's going to lose prophecy. God's going to lose the gifts of healing. God's going to lose the gift of faith. Somebody right now who has been bound by the spirit of fear, you've been living an intimidated life, you need to repent right now all over this house. You need to repent all over this house. God, forgive me for allowing the enemy to intimidate me. God, forgive me for allowing the enemy to strike fear into my heart. God, forgive me for allowing myself to not operate at the level I should, because I've been scared and I've been bullied and I've been intimidated. Thank you.
have to fear anymore. The devil's been exposed. God is on your side. There is harvest coming to Sterling. There is harvest coming to Kenai. There is harvest coming to the peninsula. There is harvest coming to Alaska. Come on, pray with somebody next to you. Begin to rejoice together. We don't need to fear. We don't need to cry. We need to rejoice. We need to grab a hold of somebody and rejoice. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. If you need a touch from God, maybe you're one of the people that we talked about a few moments ago. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost. You've never spoken other language as the God gave you the utterance. You've never spoken tongues. Maybe you need deliverance. You can get it right here and right now. Would you just lift your hands? Would you make room? There's people standing in the aisle. Make room. Everybody make room. Let everybody push their way up. Everybody in the middle aisle, come on, push up. It's all right, we can get together. If you need a miracle, if you need a touch from God, lift your hands right now. There's getting ready to be a wave of healing in this house. The Bible says he confirmed the word with signs following. Because I gave you a word that is prophetic for this word, for this region, the Lord wants to confirm it through signs. He's going to heal people right now. If you need a healing in your body, lift up your hands. If there's somebody standing next to you with their hands lifted up, would you just begin to pray for them right now? If there's somebody nearby with their hands lifted up, would you go and pray for them? I want to hear worship as we begin to push. Lord, in the name of Jesus, by your mercy and by your grace, by the stripes that you took for our healing, I plead the blood from the stripes of your back. I invoke the power of your sacrifice, and I speak healing over everyone who needs your healing right here and right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, come on and worship the Lord.